Good morning, SP. Hi, my name is Rachel, and I'm here to lead you through... Wait a second, we've already done the announcements. I'm here to share a message with you. Yay! So I wanted to talk a little bit about inner healing. I'm so thankful that I get this opportunity to share. And I just want to follow up from what P. Sam shared about last week. And some of my highlights, or the one major takeaway that I had, was when P. Sam mentioned that every believer needs to have integrity. Without integrity, we won't be able to withstand the glory of God. And integrity or character is actually something that we are not born with. So it's something that we need to work on, something that we need to continue to move into. You cannot fake it. When you have a secret life or sin in your life, it is very hard to just stop it on your own will. It's not by your own force. It can only happen through Jesus Christ. And as I share today, I hope that you will be able to see how and why it can only happen through Jesus Christ. And hopefully it will encourage you all to know that you're walking in healing, or you can seek healing. So I'm going to open us up in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you so much for this day, Lord, where we can come together as a family to just really catch your heart for every single one of us, Lord, just to really understand how you love us and how much you desire for us to walk into the fullness with unhindered relationship with you, unhindered access to you, God. May you come, Lord, and just speak through me today, God. I humble myself before you, Lord, that every word coming out from my lips will be ones that are from you, God. Bless the time, bless our connection, bless everyone in their homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is inner healing? Inner healing is about restoring your relationship with God. It is about allowing you to be able to see who he is, how he loves you, and how he wants to relate to you. Inner healing is also about your relationship with your peers, how the Lord wants you to relate with your peers, how he wants you to walk in the influence in your life to the people around you as well. Now, with this definition of inner healing, I'm assuming you can predict that it is actually not just a one-time thing. It's something that you have to go through over and over again. Receiving inner healing in a ministry like River is kind of like a major house sweeping. We kind of have a good structure. You know, we know how we're going to do prayers. We generally pray over you, your personal traumas and hurt and or sins. And then we move on to praying with you on relations to your generations before you, your ancestors, your bloodline. We try to identify any unrepentant sins or any curses that may have been laid in your family. And that's kind of what we do. Not only that, we come into a place of repentance before the Lord. So we seek his forgiveness and we release forgiveness. And I think we talk about inner healing quite a lot here at SP, that you generally have a good idea on what we do at the River. But today I do want to highlight to you one very important part of inner healing is that it is not a one-time thing. It is not just for those that are hurt, those that are depressed, or those that have gone through a traumatic experience. It's actually for every single one of us, because it is a lifestyle, because it is a life journey. We have to keep going at it. It's for every one of us. So to further explore this lifestyle, life journey of healing, I hope to share with you what I will call it the cycle of healing. There are three phases to the cycle of healing, and they're not necessarily in any particular order. You may be coming out of the first cycle, right, or the first phase, and I may be entering into the second one. Everyone's in different phase. So the first phase is what I would call from victim to victor. This is where the main focus is on the renewal of your mind, and you need to fight. The second phase is from the past to the future, and the main focus is on the restoration of past hurts, and you need to trust. And the last phase is called From Glory to Glory. And the main focus is on relaunching into your calling or your ministry. And you need to obey. Now, if inner healing is like a big house sweeping, then your junk is kind of like this balloon. So this balloon represents your secret life, the sins in your life, the things that you have buried, things that you're not proud of, the emotions, and so if you leave this balloon by itself, it is actually perfectly fine. It can be quite fun, enjoyable, and sometimes it may even be a good decoration piece at home.
Yeah.
But maybe just for a little while. So because how many of you, especially parents, know that you don't want balloons at your house, right? Ultimately, they take up the space. Every time I go to a birthday party with my son and he asks for balloons, I'm always negotiating with him. Can you just take one, not three? Or I would accidentally forget to bring them home. Because we all understand, after a while, you don't want to accumulate so much balloons. Now, when there is a threat, you begin to feel nervous. This needle or this threat is actually God's work, God's initiative on healing you and bringing you freedom. What we see as a threat is actually God's freedom. So, oftentimes it is actually when you are looking at, or you're desiring, you're hoping, and you're praying to God, I think I want healing. That's when you feel this needle coming closer and closer to the balloon. And then you start feeling nervous. You start feeling like, what if it's too great for me to handle? What if it bursts and it's too loud? What about other people? They're going to hear it. I won't be able to take the shock. And then you just don't want this in your life. But as it gets closer and closer and closer, your hand starts shaking. You start sweating. And you're saying, I don't think I can do this. Are you guys ready? Good. So we'll move on. So we're going to go on to from victim to victor. In order for you to be able to allow God to burst your balloon, you have to do a few things. You have to fight those thoughts. You have to fight those thoughts. John 8:31-36. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. How are we victims? It is simple. Everyone sins because we are sinners. Jesus makes it very plain in his word that we are enslaved to sin. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, we have become victim of the enemy's schemes, of his temptations. We succumb to his lies, and our ears are so accustomed to his voice. We can't tell the difference between his voice and God's voice, our voice. We can't tell the difference between his word and God's truth. But being a victim, is being a victim our destiny? Were we created to be victims, to be taken advantage of, to fall into sin over and over and over again, feeling that there's no way out? No, we're not. Actually, the Bible is full of words that say otherwise. We are called children of God. We are co-heirs with Jesus. We are called the royal priesthood, and many other things that speak of the opposite. In 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful, for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." It is clear that we are fighting a spiritual battle, and part of the manifestation is in our minds. So why is it so hard to break this vicious cycle of unfortunate events? Why is it that no matter how hard you try, you just get nowhere? You feel like addiction has become part of your life. How can you shake off the desire to be accepted? If we are not victims, then why are we not seeing so much victory in our lives? It is really important to choose what you put in your mind. The world is full of negativity. The norm of the world is opposite of God. Sex before marriage is the norm. Plastic surgery is the norm. Materialism is the norm. Abortion is the norm. Same-sex marriage is becoming a norm, yeah? Hatred, jealousy, depression, these are all the norm of the world. And the list goes on. And we cannot let the world dictate or educate our minds into thinking what they are thinking, because it's really toxic. All of these thoughts are toxic. And the Bible warns us, and the Bible actually tells us what we can do about it. In Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So do not let the lies become your truth. It is not easy, but we still have to do it, lest you fall into the scheme of the devil, which will lead you to destruction." The verse in 2 Corinthians, which actually P-San preached on in quite in-depth, talking about spiritual warfare in a sermon called Destroying Strongholds in May 2019. You can listen to it when you have time. This verse evidently tells us that we are at war, but the verse is also very comforting because it shows that we are actually able to fight it. We are actually able to destroy these strongholds. So do not fall victims. Do not fall victim to the lies of the enemy. An assignment, it is an assignment, it is a scheme from the enemy to get you as far from healing as possible. Since it's a spiritual war, things in the spiritual may not manifest in real time in the physical. Daniel fasted and prayed, but he didn't get his answer until 21 days later because Gabriel was warring in the second heavens. So you see that sometimes when you're doing a war in the spiritual, it takes time to manifest in the physical. So yes, what you're going through may be true. Your sickness may be true. You lost and you missed the job promotion. You feel like a loser. That may be true. That is true. You have your friends don't like you. That's true. But that is not the truth. That is not the truth. That is not God's truth for you. God's word is the truth. The Bible says that by His stripes you are healed. The word says that you are the head and not the tail. You are accepted and loved unconditionally. You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. This is the truth. So you got to start telling yourself and feeding that into your minds. Declare this. Even if it doesn't change the situation right away, do it. Even if you may still be caught in the middle of your sin, your feelings, you're still battling with it in your mind, but it's true. It will take time to manifest in the physical. Don't lose heart. Continue to declare it. If you don't renew your mind and make it a point to do so, you will be going into inner healing sessions so much more than you actually need to, because every little thing is going to trigger that hurt and you're going to respond as a victim. By practicing and choosing to renew your mind is inner healing. The Bible in Numbers 13, 30 to 33, it actually gives us a really good example on how the Israelites did not choose to renew their minds, did not choose to stand in the truth of God. It says, "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses." Oh, this was when they were scouted the promised land. "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them.'" And later in chapter 14, all the people of Israel believed the lie. And at the end of the same chapter, you see that Israel was indeed defeated by the Amalekites and the Canaanites. So what they chose to believe became the truth. They became the grasshopper. They got defeated. And it's very interesting because in verse 33, the order they said, notice it says, we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them. They became who they said they were to their enemy after they saw themselves as grasshoppers first. The Israelites lost the battle in their minds, and then they lost it in the physical. You need to trust in God's promise. Trust in His character, because that's the way you can win the battle in the mind. My friends, if you meditate on your fears, it becomes a blueprint for the enemy to deviate your path. Don't allow that to happen. You cannot let your guard down. And I'm not saying we got to start rebuking the devil every moment. You know, anytime something bad comes up, no. We don't want to give the devil undue credit. So choose to replace it with God instead. Choose to insert your mind with God's truth instead. Healing comes from declaring and receiving by faith sometimes. Therefore, it may just take some time for the physical realm to catch up to what you're declaring. Don't lose heart if what you're praying hasn't come to pass yet. Believe that God is doing something that is good for you and not against you. His truth will set you free. His truth will set you free. From victim to victor is the phase of renewal. You have to be ready to fight towards His truth. Now, I'm going to talk about moving from the past to the future. This is where you allow the Lord to peel off those layers of hurt within you, those layers that may have been formed from years ago. And this is when you come to a ministry like River. We don't only deal with issues that you have experienced personally. We also pray over your generations, as I mentioned a little bit. Because the Bible seems to suggest that there is a law that when the father sins, the offsprings have to suffer the consequences. And Noah with his son Ham is one of the example of it. And so we try to deal with the generational things and also your personal things to clean this house, big house sweeping. Now, if we are walking in unrepentant sins, then we are technically walking in disobedience to God. And when there's disobedience to God, there will be consequences. But God always gives us a way out. And in order to walk in this way out so that we can come before His throne with unveiled faces, He just asks us to do a few things. This is to confess, repent, and to forgive. Confession is when you acknowledge and disclose the sin you committed. In your session, not only will you be walking in accordance to James 5:16, which tells us to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed, you will also be confessing it before the Lord. And then we go into repentance. Repentance happens between you and God only, you and God alone. And this is a time where you internalize and understand the ramifications of your actions. And you move in deep sorrow for the sin you have committed and choose to walk the opposite direction, 180 degrees turn. And then you go into forgiveness. This is where you choose to forgive those who have wronged you. And that includes yourself and also God. When we do all these things and we go through these prayers in our session, you then come into right standing with God. Things are taken care of in the spiritual. But what about the physical realm? Yeah, you're still a human being. You are still going through all these emotions. And if you allow your emotions to take charge and don't renew it, soon enough, you will step right back in to that thought pattern. You will invite the enemy back in. So we actually need to encounter God to bring healing to our emotions. So when you come through inner healing, you actually allow yourself to encounter God, to meet with Him face to face. In the Bible, every time Jesus healed someone, He met with them face to face a lot of times. So look at Mary. Upon meeting Jesus, she was able to receive healing and was released from demonic oppression. The Samaritan woman at the well, he met with her face to face, and something happens in her spirit and her soul. It was so evident that she didn't care about who she was. She went straight back to her hometown and started preaching and declaring Jesus. There was a radical change. Zacchaeus, who climbed up the tree just so that he can see Jesus, was called out by name so that he was able to be restored. Peter, after he denied Jesus three times, Jesus sought him out so that he may be restored from Simon to Peter. And there are other examples in the Bible. But when you meet with Jesus, when you encounter him, when you allow him to speak into your life, and when you experience his presence, when you know that he's walking with you, when you know that he never left you, when you actually see it, when you hear his loving words in your ears, in your heart, in your spirit, something changes. And this is when this whole, from past to the future, comes in, whole inner healing comes in. And it's beautiful. Did you know that your memory can actually begin as far back as when you were in your mother's womb? There are actually more and more research that supports, with evidence, this finding. Even in the Bible, it says when Mary visited Elizabeth, John the Baptist in Mary's womb leaped. So the Holy Spirit is in the womb. And the child's spirit seems to be awake, even though the baby may still be developing. So if your spirit can have memories as far back as when you were in your mom's womb, how can hurts from your childhood not be imprinted into your memory and affect you as an adult? It is those hurts that happen in your childhood which forms your viewpoint in life. You may not realize it, but much of what we do, how we react to certain situations, how we respond to specific comments, actually comes from a place of the past. The earlier the hurt, the deeper it is ingrained into your personality. So for me, when I was young, I've had many bad experiences in friendships. And I actually decided to drop out of high school because I had no friends, like none. And you know, when you were 16, friends is your world, right? So I just decided to drop out, and I wanted to just go onto the path where I thought was the only way out for me. I became very skeptical with relationships and friendships and actually people in general. Anyway, I went through inner healing after I met Jesus, and I took the time to forgive these people. But who would have thought I would have to go through something similar again years later? A time in my life where once again, all of my closest friends betrayed me, misunderstood me, and left me. I was all alone. During my healing time with God, He comforted me, and He showed me a picture of my bruised heart. And then He just said, "It is not scarred." And immediately, I felt His warmth and how He touched my heart. I understood what He meant. I knew He was protecting my heart, and I knew He can empathize with my pain. Because what He's telling me is that even though my heart may have been hurt and bruised, but once it's healed, there won't even be a scar. There will be no trace of it being injured before. So I still had to battle with all those emotions, and I had to fight that feeling of wanting or almost inclining towards feeling that it's people are hopeless and friendship, you know, being so cynical about friendship and relationships again. I was able to fight it because I stood on the truth that Jesus told me he's healing my heart, and that my heart and I will be made whole again. And that was how I came through. And thank God, I hope in people. So don't let the enemy stop you from receiving healing and deliverance. Most of you have heard my testimony when Pinate preached on the God of Order. And for me, when the whole ordeal came out, I still remember I saw the press 2 weeks after. I had no idea that these things happened. The photos were leaked. And I was thrust into questions. People were asking me, were you part of it? Did you do it? You were in a relationship with him. And I was so overwhelmed, I denied it. I said no. I was shocked. I was in fear. I was in disbelief. I don't know how to handle this. And this secret I have kept for a decade, something I was so ashamed of, something that I felt pressured into doing, something that would bring such disgrace to my family, something that will ruin my career, and it will ruin me. I can't believe it. And my balloon was about to pop. I can feel the imminent threat. And the aftermath is too much for me to handle. I didn't know what I can do. It was overwhelming. Everything came out. But you know what? I'm still alive. I'm well. I would never, ever imagine I'll be standing here talking about inner healing with you today, back then. So if you're thinking, and you're still thinking, can I reveal my secret? Can I walk out in healing? What if other people know? Don't think, just do it. It is much easier when the balloon pops with your expectation, when you know it's going to pop, when you ask for it. It's so much easier than being caught by surprise, like me. When I was caught by surprise, everything blew up. It was like a volcano erupted. The lava went into every area of my life. It was out of my control. So don't think. Do it. Do it on your own initiative. Trust me. Things will pass. People will forget. People will forgive. You can forgive. That's the truth. You can be made whole again. Sure, some people may take longer time, some people really fast, but if you allow God to mend your wounds, to heal your past, I can assure you, you will have the future God promised you. Today, the decisions you make about your past will determine your future. Choose to have God in it so you can finally look ahead with hope. From the past to the future is the phase of restoration. From glory to glory, and this is the final phase I'm going to talk about today. And this is the phase where you allow God to launch you or relaunch you if you're already in this process. And a lot of you may not even know it, but you're already in the cycle of healing. So you're allowing God to launch or relaunch you into your calling and your destiny. And He will be able to take you from glory to glory. You just need to be obedient and let Him lead you through. What better way to solidify and constantly remind yourself than to be moving and serving, to be walking in your destiny and serving in the area of your ministry, whether it is in the marketplace, whether it's in the family, whether it's at church or wherever it may be. You can always serve at any time or at any point with your journey, on your journey with God. But as you are more healed, serving God becomes more enjoyable. Loving others becomes second nature. You don't take offense as easily. The more you are healed, the more mountaintops you can go to from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "But we all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." This is why I mentioned that this is a cycle. It's a cycle of healing because we are being transformed bit by bit, little by little. So don't miss this step of healing. Don't miss it by not being obedient to His calling, by not letting Him relaunch you over and over again. I remember a few years ago, P. Benjamin preached a sermon on Psalm 23. I think it was during the retreat, which left a great impression on me. What I got out of it was that Psalm 23, you know, when it talks about the valley of the shadow of death, that valley of the shadow of death may be a time that is a suffering time, you know, it's a trying time. But if there are these valleys, then there will also be mountaintops. If God is with us in these dark valleys, how much more would God want to walk you up the mountain to the top of it? Unless we enter the valley, we will not be able to climb up the mountain. It is easy to think that once you've reached the top, then you have succeeded. But the truth is, there are other mountaintops that the Lord wants to take you on. And in order to be able to get through, you need to be willing to climb back down, go back into the valley, so that you can go up to another mountain. But now we know that when we go back down, we're not just going to go back down. We're going to go back down with this idea and understanding that we need to continually renew our minds. We need to allow the Lord to restore our hurts, and then we can be relaunched over again and again and again. This is the only way we can become people with integrity. No more hiding before the Lord. Allow Him to help you. We hope to be people who can withstand the glory of God and finish the race that is set before us well. One bit of advice, though. Don't compare your mountaintops with others. Some may be in the valley, some may be climbing, others will be at the top. Everyone is at different stages in their healing. Everyone's battle is different. I recently was reading this devotional, and the pastor was referring to the Genesis when God made the earth, and this is what he said. Each day, something great was done, and God would end by celebrating what was done instead of complaining about what was still not done. God never compared the messy process of creation to the beautiful heaven where He resides. So instead of looking at where the other people is at, celebrate what has been completed in you. Celebrate it, your big or small victories, no matter what they are. Go at it with a celebration. God is still working on you, and He is faithful. He is going to bring you the work that He's completed. He's not going to leave it unfinished. He will complete it in you. So I hope to take this time to go into the response. This cycle of healing is a lifestyle. And my prayer for you is that you will be willing to let God move in you, in your life, regardless of what stage you may be in. That you will remain in Him. You will trust in Him. I hope for us to spend some time to ask God where you are at in this cycle. Are you going from victim to victor? If yes, then during this time, pray to God and ask Him to reveal to you your name. What does He call you? Remember it, declare it, and receive it. Are you moving from your past to the future? Then pray to God and ask Him whether you need to sign up for inner healing. Are you going from glory to glory? Then obey Him and have faith in Him. For anyone who actually doesn't know Jesus yet, and you want to receive healing, you want to know Him, you want to walk into the cycle, I just want to invite you to allow Him to enter your life, to make this decision, because what you do today will determine your future. So I would like to invite you to say a prayer. You can repeat after me, or it will be in the screen as well. Father God, I come before You today and acknowledge that I am a sinner. I understand that sin is what separates you from me. And Jesus is the only way that can lead me to you, because he died on the cross for me. As I open my heart to you, please come and dwell in it and draw me closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it. And you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never. Take the broken things and raise them to glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease. This is my victory. Now I can finally see. Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease. This is my victory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown. Defeated with the one who has conquered it all. When I lift my voice, when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority that Jesus has given me. Given me when I open. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
Amen. Amen. Friends, I want you to know that there's an opportunity before you right now. We believe that the Holy Spirit is really leading our body this year to get our lives in order. Do you want the appearance of freedom or do you want the real thing? You want the appearance of wholeness or do you want the real thing? We're in a season, I think a divine season, where God is offering us an opportunity to go after the real thing. And it's going to risk a little something. It might be a little bit painful on the way, but the results and the rewards are so outstanding. It pales in comparison. And so I want to challenge our community. We have a wonderful ministry here at Solomon's Porch called The River, led by Rachel. Just really so proud of her, not only her message, but how she's run the ministry, and all of our incredible counselors. You know, a free ministry here in Hong Kong for our church and also for our community, for people to go a little deeper, to step into that place of inner healing and deliverance, to be set free and on fire for the Lord. What she said today was so prevalent. What we do today in our present about our past will determine our future. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let's just take a moment. Let's just close our eyes and let's ask the Lord, God, do you want me to step in to this in some way? Just ask the Lord, God, are there any chinks in my armor? Or is there anything that's around me or about me that I need to step into a deeper place of healing, forgiveness, wholeness, and freedom? And just respond to the Spirit right now. It's wherever He's leading you, whatever He's saying to you. Just respond. Maybe there's an area of your life that needs some fine-tuning. Or maybe there's a habit that needs to be overcome. Our God is a God of order. And He wants to bring that order in our lives. Well, let's just take let's just pause for a moment and listen to the overtures of the Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You, God, for just this season, Lord, that You have us in as a body. Lord, to come into a deeper place of healing, of forgiveness. Lord, we believe, God, that You're calling all of us into this place right now. You are the God of order, God. And You want to bring our lives in order. And so we thank You for the message. Lord, I pray that You would seal it in our hearts. God, and the Spirit of God, just begin to move within us, Lord, that the Word, Lord, comes to life inside. God, we thank You, Lord. Lead us, God, into deeper love. Lead us into healing, into forgiveness, into Your power, God, into freedom. Lord, the Word tells us, God, that You came that we might have life and have it abundantly. We recognize, God, that there are certain areas of our life where we're not experiencing the abundant life. So lead us, God. We thank You, Lord. We bless You. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Let's go deeper in the Lord. Let's ask God to reveal himself to us, maybe in different areas of brokenness or areas of pain or just simple areas that we know God wants us to grow in. And let's sign up for the river. Let's get involved in men's ministry or whatever other avenues we can see, women's ministry that can lead us into this place of wholeness. In fact, even today, if you have any prayer requests or if there's anything that you want prayer for, you can go into one of our rooms and our well ministers would lovingly and gladly pray for you. Amen? Have a great, great rest of your Sabbath. Stay healthy. Be aware there's obviously a lot of things going on in our city right now. Let's continue to pray. And let's stay safe. God bless you guys. Bye.